Welcome to the Killer Frogs Frog Fever Basketball Podcast, a Fan Nation podcast show brought to you weekly by KillerFrogs.com. My name is Davis Wilson. With me today is Nick Geramonte. Nick, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm excited to get this going. It's our first podcast, so cut us some slack, but we're going to, you know, this year we're going to talk TCU hoops, Big 12 hoops, all that stuff. So obviously excited, very excited.
Exactly. You know, best time of the year.
I know, basketball season. We finally made it. So the first thing I kind of wanted to talk about was TCU had a exhibition game last week, I guess this week, against Texas Wesleyan. You were there. So jumping right into it, let's just, you know, tell us about that game. How did that game go?
Yeah. I mean, as bad as electric as a Texas Wesleyan scrimmage can go, I think the team showed a lot of good signs. You know, we were kind of sloppy with the ball early, but the guys who you wanted to stand out, I think, did. Like, Eman, obviously first team All-Big 12, put up 11 of 12 for 24. I think that's about as good. He had a 39 plus minus. Like, Jameer Nelson, your top transfer, came in and had a 40 plus minus, 5 of 7 from the floor, 12 points. You know, Ernest Uday showed flashes. I think he can be really good. Micah Peavy, who Jamie has talked about improving his shot a lot, has really, you know, he went 3-4 from three. So I think a lot of positives you can take from it. Obviously, like, the turnovers and the free throws were issues, and you're going against Texas Wesleyan, so that only means so much, but definitely some positives going into the year.
Just based on watching this game, and right, it is Texas Wesleyan, so it's hard to really gauge what this team's going to be like, but what are the strengths that you saw that you think can carry over into the regular season?
Yeah, I think depth for one. Like Jamie said in his postgame presser, he thinks we can run 10 deep. And I think that was kind of an issue last year. You know, like when we lost Lampkin for the postseason play, like, big man was obviously an issue. And if we lost Mike or Damian, like, the ball handlers were obviously an issue in scoring. But I think, you know, we returned so much and we got additionally like a ton of transfers. Like, there's a good 11, 12 players that can play on this team. Mm-hmm. It's just about opportunity, and that's a great problem to have. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Damian Ba and Mike Miles, both gone now. So a lot of people are wondering about the guard play, the guard depth. Obviously, Jamie brought in two guys, Jameer Nelson Jr. and Nick Tennyson, right? Is that his? Yeah.
Trey Tennyson.
And then, so what about those guys? How did they look? You know, what do you see from them? How do you see the guard play shaping up this year without some of these guys that we've gotten used to?
That was definitely one of my biggest concerns, you know, having these guys who can be able to handle the ball. And obviously, Mike and Damian last year were pretty much the only people, maybe like Shahada Wells, who you also lost, who were able to handle the ball. And you really only brought in one true point guard in Jameer who could do that. So you were kind of wondering who would take like the backup point guard reps or be able to handle the ball at all times. And what I noticed is that Jameer or Avery Anderson was on the court, at least one of them, for the majority of the game, and being able to handle the point. And Avery Anderson really impressed me with his ball handling skills. I think Trey Tennyson is more of like, you know, a spot up shooter and a great shooter. Obviously, we needed that too. But I think Avery Anderson and Jameer Nelson will be the ones handling the ball for the most part.
Yeah, Avery Anderson's a guy that I'm excited about. I was at Big 12 Media Day a couple weeks ago, and I got to ask Oklahoma State's head coach Mike Boynton about kind of what Avery Anderson, I mean, what TCU was getting in Avery Anderson. And he basically said, you're getting a guy that like has played a ton of basketball, a ton of Big 12 basketball, which is also so important. I know he's been kind of beat up this off season. I think he's been hurt a little bit, and he's, you know, it's spotty whether or not he's playing in practice, but it looked like he did play, I guess. And just, I guess, what are your thoughts on like him and how big of a bonus is it to have a guy that's played so many Big 12 basketball games?
Yeah, I think he could be huge for the team. Like, he was, you know, like a top three scorer for Oklahoma State the past two, three, four seasons. Like, he's been in college basketball, and I think experience is about as good as it gets. And when you have a guy who has produced at the Division I level, it's easy to, you know, fall in love with a guy. Also, like, with that being said, him being hurt in practice, like, you could easily see him being in a starting lineup. Jamie was saying how the starting lineup wasn't set for what it was. So I could see them running a two-guard lineup with him and Jameer, or just kind of like rotating guys to see who fits. But definitely Anderson is going to be a huge guy to watch. And he was as impressive as they come from the scrimmage. I thought he looked really good.
I also got to talk a little bit to Jamie Dixon at Media Day, and he said that the idea when they're, you know, looking in the transfer portal for guys to replace Mike and Dame was finding two guards that could play with each other like Mike and Dame are able to do, you know, one kind of true scoring guy and another guy who can score and who's a, you know, excels as a passer as well. When we talked about guards, when I talked about guards with Jamie, he said another guy that, you know, we may be surprised to see at guard is Micah Peavy, because he's a bigger guy, but he's, you know, added some stuff offensively and he's shown flashes as a playmaker, obviously has the defense. How did Micah Peavy look?
He looked amazing. Like, I know I sound like it's obviously easy to find positives from the Wesleyan game and guys are going to look good, but I mean, that dude is so damn athletic. Like, he is arguably one of the best defenders in all of college basketball. And obviously his, you know, downfall was the offensive end, but he can, like, his shooting form has insanely impressed. It's just so smooth now. Like, before it was, you know, he was almost like thinking too much about it or like being like blocky with his form, but he shoots it with confidence and his finishing is as good as it gets. The ball handling would be huge if he can pick it up. That'll be interesting to see, like, how, you know, flow he can be with it and how much handles he's got, but he could be huge for the team, and I could see him starting as early as Monday.
What about the bigs? You know, I know we have Xavier Court coming back, Ernest Udeh coming in. You know, how rebounding was something that I think a lot of TCU fans wanted to see improve, and you bring in a guy like Ernest Udeh, not only does he rebound for you, but he protects the rim. Did you get a read on, like, the difference that a guy like Ernest can make on this team, and what kind of difference is that going to be?
Yeah, that was the downfall of TCU basketball last year. I mean, that's part of the big reason that we lost to Gonzaga. So obviously it was arguably the number one thing to address in the offseason. And bringing in Udeh, you know, I mean, he was a five-star All-American. He probably would still be at Kansas if Hunter Dickinson didn't transfer there. So he is, like, as talented as they come. He's definitely a little bit raw, but his, like, mere athleticism is as good as they come. Like, Jameer in the scrimmage was just tossing lobs to him left and right, and his catch radius is crazy. You know, his knack for defending the rim, too, could be really good. I thought what was interesting, too, is in Jamie said after the game that he was still thinking about who to start at big. Like, he said he was thinking about starting Xavier Cork or new transfer Hassan Mustafa from Coastal Carolina, who looked decent. I feel like Ernest, just by sheer talent and potential, is going to start, as he probably looked the better of all those three. But having that depth with Mustafa and Xavier Cork coming off the bench is going to be huge, because, you know, we were the Xavier Cork Suleiman Dumbia combo of last year was not, and it's not great to watch. But yeah. Obviously you have Jacoby Coles too there, who's going to be, you know, one of the best role players for this team, and just stability guys. And you can go small playing E-man at the five, and, like, you can go small Chuck at the four. You can do a lot with this roster, I think, which is one of the most interesting things about watching in the early season, how guys gel with each other and who's going to appear in the lineup as, you know, conference season comes around and things start to get serious. But it's a good problem to have, that we have all these different guys fighting over minutes, you know, and who knows if, like, a freshman, like, we have big Isaiah Manning too. Like, we're a lot deeper at the five this year, and I think that's one of the biggest benefits we addressed in the offseason.
Yeah, one guy that I, you know, I'm we've seen Emmanuel Miller play a lot of basketball at TCU. Obviously, he came over from Texas A&M. He's been at TCU, what, for three? This will be his third year, is that
two.
Right?
Yeah, this will be his third.
Yeah, so when he was here, I mean, he's been here and he's been really good. He's kind of been like a second or third option behind Mike or Dame or whoever it is. But now, like, this seems to be his team. He's, you know, first, I think he's first team all Big 12, right? Is that, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's all this hype going into the year about him, which makes me excited because he's always a guy that I've liked. He's, you know, does all the right things. He's, you know, improved his game. He's added a jump shot, which I think is, you know, something that's going to be beneficial in this league. You mentioned that he looked really good in the scrimmage, but how good can he be? I mean, when you look at the Big 12, there are some really good players. It's a conference that's loaded with talent. Where does Emmanuel Miller fit in there? Is he really going to be one of those guys that you watch every night and you're like, oh my God, you know, E-Man is, you know, dropping 20 points every night. Like, is he this guy that's going to really carry TCU? And how much of a jump do you think he's made from the last 2 years we've seen him?
Yeah, I was a bit surprised, honestly, when he was named first team all Big 12. But, you know, because we have so many great players, as you said, like a lot of great players got left off. But people kind of forget that when he was at A&M before 2 years ago, like he was their probably best player. Mm-hmm. And A&M was obviously not a good team. But if you're the best player on a team in a Power Six conference, like you're a dude. Mm-hmm. So he's obviously played that role before. Obviously, the Big 12's a different animal. And when you're filling the shoes of a Mike Miles or a Damian Ball as the number one option, it'll be tough. But what he showed in the scrimmage is that he knows he has to be the number one guy or should be the number one guy. And he was being more aggressive than I've ever seen him on the offensive end. Mm-hmm. Like, what's so easy to like about him is that he probably plays harder or as hard as anybody on the court. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's going to be giving it his all. And I think he's going to have a fantastic year, as he showed mm-hmm. in the scrimmage. Yeah, I was even surprised by how well he played. And mm-hmm. I'm an E-Man guy, so we'll see how that goes.
It's a deep team. You mentioned how Jamie said it could be 10 deep. On the end of that bench are these two freshmen that came in this recruiting class. Obviously, it's more of a transfer-heavy class, but these two guys that Jamie brought in, he likes – I mean, he likes them both, you know, Jace Posey, Isaiah Manning. Tell me about these guys. You know, what kind of run did they get in this exhibition game? And what kind of run do you expect them to get this year?
It's weird with TCU basketball because the past like two, I mean, the last freshman to really get in the rotation was Mike Miles, mm-hmm. you know, 2 years ago. So it's weird, but these guys are two of the best like freshman recruits we've had in a while. You know, Jace got in the first half and he showed his athleticism. Isaiah got in more towards the end, so I'd probably favor Jace over him in terms of just playing a minutes role from what we saw what Jamie liked. But they're both super raw talents, and like they're so athletic, they're both fast, quick, all that kind of stuff. But you can tell that they still need some polishing in their game. I would be surprised with how many transfers we have if we went to them as a rotational piece. But if injuries happen or there's something to look at, they could be instrumental. But I think the goal of Jamie would be to have them wait a year, not necessarily redshirt, but if it comes down to it, mm-hmm. it's just kind of wait around, take a year, take it in, develop yourself, and they'll be big for TCU for years to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a deep team, and Jamie brought in a bunch of transfers. So, who knows if these guys are going to have a significant role. But for someone who has not seen, like, Jace Posey, according to 24/7 Sports, is the fifth best recruit TCU's ever had, ahead of some fun names like, you know, Jalen Fisher and Kendrick Davis.
Yeah.
He's just ahead of those guys. So, in the time that he did get in, were you able to get a feel of the player that he is and what kind of guy he will be at the collegiate level?
Yeah, he's a super scrappy, like guard slash forward guy. He can handle the ball and he loves getting to the rim. Like, I think he went to the line 6 times or something like that. So he loves getting contact. He plays super hard. And obviously his dad is James Posey, a former good NBA player. So he's got the genes to like be this amazing talent. I think, yeah, he is definitely a huge bright spot for him. And it's encouraging seeing these recruits come to TCU. Like, obviously, the 2024 class is forming too and becoming a, like, the recruits just getting better and better for TCU. And I think Jace Posey is definitely going to be a stud when it comes down to it. Probably he needs to improve his shooting a little bit and develop into his body a little more before he can obtain heavy minutes in the college game. And that just comes with playing in the Big 12. Like, no matter how big of a recruit you are, you're probably going to have to wait a little bit unless you're, you know, top 1% of guys. But he's definitely going to be a huge bright spot. His talent is jumps off the books.
Yeah. Again, this was a game against Texas Wesleyan, so we do have to kind of be careful. But we've talked about a lot of really some of the good things you saw and noticed. And on the other side of that, you know, I know there were a couple things that you think need to be addressed before the regular season, but especially before Big 12 play comes around. What were those things that you'd like, I guess, to see some improvement on?
Yeah, turnovers, I would say, was big early on. They got a lot better of it late, but as we know, Jamie Dixon teams love to run fast, and when doing that, you need to take care of, like, to work and take care of the ball to move it, or else you're just getting behind on yourself. So I obviously taking care of the back comes with finding ball handlers too, like Avery Anderson and Jameer Nelson Shine. But if one or two guys got more comfortable taking care of the ball and stuff like that, then you could definitely find more confidence in that. And I think it's showing, and that is going to come when you run fast. And it's been a problem for TCU in the past, but that's definitely one. And I also think free throws, like, we shot 18 of 33, and we've known that to be a downfall of this team in years behind. And the backbone of this TCU team and TCU teams in the past and probably looking forward to has never been shooting. So obviously you're not going to expect them to be this top-tier free throw team. And when you add in, like, super athletic guys like Uday and guys like that, he airballed a free throw. And he's just going to be like, Uday's going to be the up and down player that, like, you love to see in college basketball. Like, he'll do something so sick, and the next play he'll airball a free throw and stuff like that. So I think that's those two are definitely downfalls. And still, as we talked about it, the big man has been addressed probably as best as we could. Like, Uday being a late pickup was massive, but still, I worry about Xavier Corker, Sam Mustafa as the backup. Obviously, Cork's shown flashes, but I don't think, you know, he's going to be a great piece for us. So I'm hoping for one of them to emerge, but it's still kind of uncertain. Like, none of them really shined in the exhibition. So finding the backup big that you can count on, or big in general, and then working on taking care of the ball is definitely gonna be a problem.
Yeah, you mentioned free throws. That, man, that drove me crazy last year.
Yeah,
that was responsible for multiple losses just by itself was free throws. So
it comes down to, like, so many games, especially in college basketball, like, come down to free throws, and they impact so many. So that's gonna be huge.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's only so much you can do to work on it. Like, sometimes you either have it or you don't, but improving the free throws would be huge for this team.
Absolutely. I would love to see that addressed, because that was maddening at times. Well, getting into more of the season, we have TCU has two games this upcoming week. The first one coming against Southern University, the second one against Omaha. I don't want to spend too much time on this, because these aren't let's just say it. TCU should beat these teams with some ease. But I do have a couple notes on both these teams. Southern was 15-7 last year. I mean, sorry, 15-17 last year. So, you know, already not a great team. They lost, I think they lost their both of their leading scorers. Breon Whitley was their leading guy last year. He's gone. You know, I'm a big fan of KenPom. KenPom has him 328 out of 362.
I'm looking at that too.
Yeah, so I mean that alone should tell. I mean TCU's 30th out of 362, and those are preseason rankings. But I like to think KenPom, you know, really is good at what he does. So just that alone tells you this should not be really even a contest. But I mean, you never know. I mean, I don't want to get into last year, but to start the year last year, we played a couple teams to start it off that we should have beat handedly. We beat, I think it was Arkansas Pine Bluff by one in the first game. And then
that Mike game winner.
Yeah. My gosh.
That was crazy.
I was not ready to see a Mike game winner that early in the season.
Yeah.
Who did they lose to? Northwestern State.
Northwestern State. Yeah.
Brutal. And
Hansel Emanuel.
Yeah. So anything can happen, but you really should not lose this game, especially for a team that's looking to contend in the best conference in college basketball. You should not lose this game. Next is Omaha. Omaha is a slightly better team. They're 275th out of 362, so still bad, but a better team. They were 9-23 last year. Their leading scorer is back. His name is Frankie Fiddler, which is just a great college basketball name. I think he averaged just over 14.5 points per game. Their second scorer is also back. So I think this is a team that should be better than they were last year. But again, like, TCU should not mess around with Omaha. They should win this game. But yeah, you never know, I guess. Just overall, I know we don't know a lot about either of these teams, but what are you looking to see in the first two games? Against Southern and Omaha.
Obviously, you know, as you said, we lost a game to Northwestern State and needed a 1-point win against Arkansas Pine Bluff. So you can't take it lightly, but you should handle these teams pretty easy. I think what I just want to see is finding the guys who you know will be stable rotation pieces. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing an extended rotation, like maybe throwing in an 11 or getting the freshman some minutes, as many men as Dixon thinks can play in the system to find out who fits and just getting reps with each other. So just kind of working out the kinks as you start to get towards more reputable teams. Like, I think the first big game we play is Georgetown. So in these first like six games, I just want to see the rotation start to fold and see who's going to be the go-to guys for this team.
Sure. Yeah. Last thing I have for us to do is going to be, I think it's going to be a kind of fun way to rank this conference that TCU plays in, a gauntlet of a conference. But the idea is, we'll say you can start, we'll do our Big 12 power rankings, you pick a team, I pick a team, we'll switch off until we're done. And Zoom is telling me we only have 9 minutes left, so this will be the last thing we do. But if you want to start, I don't think it's a huge secret who number one is, but let's see what you think. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go chalk here with AP number one in Kansas. Mm-hmm. They did lose an exhibition game to Illinois, so you never know. But I'll take DeJuan Harris and Hunter Dickinson and all those cats. Number one.
Yeah, I'm a Mizzou guy, so I have to try to put my KU bias aside, but I do agree with that pick.
Yeah.
Second for me, I think this is a pretty good pick. I think Houston, just been a dominant team. Kelvin Sampson is one of probably the best five coaches in college basketball. They get a guy in LJ Cryer from Baylor who can, you know, shoot the ball really well. So give me the Cougars in their first year in the Big 12. at two.
Yeah, I'll probably go. I think I'm gonna go Baylor here at three. I think, you know, their guard play is just stud. They have a sick 5-star freshman coming in, and they have some returning guys that are huge for them. I do worry about their defense, but I mean, their guard play is always going to be top tier.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be fine.
Yeah, at four, I think I'm going to go with the Texas Longhorns. I'm a big Rodney Terry fan. I think he did a really good job last year, and I think he's going to continue to do a really good job at Texas. They have Tyrese Hunter back. They got some good portal additions. They lost a lot of guys, but they seem to do a good job in the portal. They got Oral Roberts, point guard, Max Asmus, who many remember from his March Madness run at Oral Roberts. So give me the Longhorns at number four. I think that's a team that can certainly win this conference.
I got you. I actually don't love Rodney Terry, but I think they're going to be good.
Really? Not a Rodney Terry guy?
Yeah, I don't know. I just kind of worry about him being a stable because he mm-hmm. kind of just had not his own players. Like,
sure.
They're already an old group, and they're going to be a super interesting team because they're a lot younger this year, so they don't have these seniors to rely on. It'll be interesting to see how he goes with them.
Yep.
At five, I think this is kind of between the Frogs or K-State here, but I'm going to go with the Frogs.
There you go. Do it.
Yeah. I'm obviously a biased guy, but I'm kind of sipping the Kool-Aid here that they're deep and they got guys who can play in their system. They're going to be a top five team in this conference. I think so.
Yeah. Like you said, Kansas State's the next pick. Jerome Tang in his first year took him to the Elite Eight. Lost his two big names in Keontae Johnson and Marquise Noel. They're both gone, but he added some guys out of the portal. Give me Kansas State.
I got you. Yeah, seeing how that Naquan Tomlin thing is going to turn out with him being suspended is going to be interesting to see if he comes back or not. But at seven, I think, I'm going to go with Iowa State here.
Mm-hmm.
I think Taman Lipsey, their guard, he's returning. He's going to be huge, and they got this 5-star, like top 10 recruit in Omaha Biliew, and he's a freak. So I think the Cyclones are going to be a tough team.
Mm-hmm. Okay, at eight, I think I'm going to go Texas Tech here. Grant McCaslin has been one of my favorite coaches in college basketball for the last couple of years. I was excited to see him get a promotion. He plays an interesting style of basketball, but I think that team is going to be better than it was last year, and I think it's going to have a lot to do with McCaslin.
Yeah, here I'm probably going to go with a new Big 12 team in BYU.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're – no one's kind of really talking about them. They have this big man named Fusini Traore, who's a stud, and they have this up-and-coming freshman, Dallin Hall – or he was a freshman last year, Dallin Hall, who's super good form. And Provo is a tough place to play, so I think they could have some decent success in the middle pack there.
Mm-hmm. This is a tough pick. I think I'm going to go Cincinnati, although they have some waivers pending. I think they requested waivers for a second time on transfers, Azeez Bendogo and Jameel Reynolds. I think that's right. I don't know if the outcome of those waivers has been decided, but you know, if they're there, I like Cincinnati. That's a good team. I'll take them.
Yeah. I'll probably go OU here. I think OU is one of the most interesting teams in the conference because they have had such a big roster turnover and they're bringing in like these guards from different places. But they got a lot of talent from the portal, and I think they could be like a sneaky up, you know, team that could sneak up on guys if they click together.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to go with Oklahoma State here, although I don't have a lot of confidence in that. I like Mike Boynton. You know, it's been up and down for Oklahoma State, but I like them in this spot here. I think we're at 12 now.
I was thinking about taking the Pokes last round too. They're going to be good. John Michael Wright, their point guard, is a stud, and
yep,
Boynton's
yep.
obviously a a sick recruiter. I'll probably go with Westphal here at 13. They're just such an interesting team because obviously the Kirk Risa thing, he's going to be out. And I think Raekwon Battle, their other big transfer, is pending a waiver. And obviously, who knows what's going on with Huggins. But they have this big man, Jesse Edwards, I think, from Syracuse, who's going to be one of the sneaky top players in the conference. So I'll go them at 13.
They had a roller coaster of the offseason for sure.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for them. Yeah. And lastly, last team left is UCF. You know, not a ton to say about UCF. They, you know, Johnny Dawkins, I think, has the potential to be an exciting head coach. They lost Taylor Hendricks last year, but, you know, this is a team that has room for improvement. They have potential, you know, in Florida. So I'll take them at 14. But really just a loaded conference top to bottom. And, you know, it's tough to really rank them.
Yeah. Like, yeah. With that being said, like any conference win is going to be big. And
absolutely,
they're all tough teams who can
absolutely
win any game.
Well, Nick, I think that's going to do it for us on this week's episode. This is our first one. So, you know, keep coming back, keep giving us some chances. This is only going to get better as we go on. Thank you for listening to our first episode of the Frog Fever Killer Frogs basketball podcast. My name is Davis Wilson. You can find me on Twitter at DavisWilson_41. This is Nick Geramonte at GeramonteNicky on Twitter. And once again, thank you for listening. Come back next week for more.
Yeah, thanks for listening. It was a pleasure. I'm excited to start the season.
Let's do it, man. This will be fun.